really becoming consciously aware of it. Because actually, when you allow yourself to truly understand how connected you are, then you start to enter into these higher states.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion, and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools, and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion, and purpose. My guest on today's program is Jennifer Main. So tell me, what would it be like if growing up, if you did see the bogeyman in the closet or hands reaching out from under the bed? My guest on today's program has always been empathic from a very early age. It means she was super sensitive to the world around her. She could see, feel, and hear stuff that others could not. That may sound like a fantastic superpower, but like all gifts, it had a price. So as a child, getting love and emotional support was hard. Hugging people was painful, and she could feel their pain and emotional baggage. Sadly, adults carry so many emotions, and it must have been very confusing for a young child. Jennifer was born in North Carolina, and her family have strong Christian beliefs. It is the Bible Belt. There is no place to talk about such things that might be considered ungodly. So she learned to rationalize these images and thoughts as part of an overactive and creative imagination. It was this that started her on a journey to understand these images and feelings and experiences. She says her whole life has been a study of humanity, beginning with herself. Jennifer went on to study psychology. She worked in addiction and special needs. Presently, she's a transformational guide and speaker. She's a catalyst for change. Her mission is to inspire individuals to recognize their unique potential and calling, to embrace purpose, and to live an aligned and authentic existence. I hope you enjoy the conversation with Jennifer Main. Welcome to Life, Passion, and Business. I am delighted today to be with Jennifer Main, and she is a transformational coach, I think. I think we're going to find out more about that one. But anyway, I know what's I've seen Jennifer in action, and she is very, very, how can I describe this? She has an amazing little laugh, which makes me giggle as well. So we may both end up in giggles, but she has some great stories to tell. So Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
That's good. That's good. Now, look, Jennifer, I've met you in a different context, because I met you on a coaching project and you were coaching us at the time. And there were some fantastic stories and interesting stories. And that's what made me reach out to you. It's like, well, hang on a minute. How did we get here? How did you become the Jennifer Main that you are?
Here we go.
Try and keep it short.
No, absolutely. Yes. So, well, as you may be able to hear from my accent, I am not from around these parts. I grew up in the Southeast, in North Carolina, in the States, and grew up in quite a conservative area, conservative backgrounds. And
it's Bible bashing country.
It's the Bible Belt, so that is absolutely right.
And God grew up given country. Okay, good.
Yes, very conservative. My father's side of the family is very conservative and religious and wonderful, amazing, beautiful, complex people. But yes, there are some definite dynamics within that that were interesting to grow up in. So, but I grew up as the child who was always very empathic and who could really feel what was going on and very, really sensitive. And, you know, as a child, if nobody's talking about that stuff and nobody understands that, then you don't understand it either, because there's not a vocabulary for it. There's not a
way. When you say empathic and sensitive, what does that mean? What does that mean for you? Because like,
yeah. So basically, I can, if I am around a person, I can feel everything that's going on within them. So I can feel if there's pain in the body. I can feel if they have a, some emotional distress going on. I can feel if their mind is running away, if they're distracted.
How did you deal with that as a child? My God, yeah. that must have been quite traumatic in places.
Well, it made it really interesting, because I, and what I found with people who are empathic over and over again, is it becomes very confusing. Because you don't always know, are these my thoughts and feelings, or are they somebody else's?
Well, that's and it. That's what I was thinking. Because you're into something like this, and you could get into real confusion with that.
Yes.
Especially as a child not understanding adult feelings.
Yes. Yeah. And I always found it interesting, because you know, people want to come and hug you, and you know, family members are really affectionate and love you. And I was never a huggy. I hated hugging people, but it was because it felt so overwhelming. I could just feel so much at once. And so I was then rejecting the affection and the care and things that you actually do want as a child, but it was because it was such a mixed bag, and because I could pick up on so much else that was there. And I know that I had periods of time growing up where I also, because that can be overwhelming or scary or confusing, and you see this a lot with people who are very sensitive and empathic, is they will avoid crowded spaces. You know, you avoid going into places where there's lots of noise or there's lots of things going on. So that was kind of the start of my childhood. And then what I started to realize was that I was also seeing things that were beyond the physical senses. So being able to see things within the energetic world.
What do you mean by see things?
So unfortunately, I started off with seeing the scary stuff. And, but again, I've always been a very logical, grounded person. So I did that thing even as a child where I went, oh, my imagination is just playing tricks on me. My eyes are playing tricks on me. And so I never really spoke about it and never talked to anybody about it. But it was kind of that thing of, you know, I would, the dark in the room, I would see hands under the bed. I would see stuff in the closet. You know, I could see things out and about. Just in the world, because you know, with the land we live on, there's so much history attached to the land, and those have imprints. And so if you are an intuitive psychic being, which we all are, then you can pick up on that stuff. So a lot of my growing up years was trying to figure out, who am I, what am I thinking and feeling, what is the outside world, what is other people, and how do I get a clear sense of that. And so it was interesting, because I spent a lot of time, I played different sports, I was in choir and singing, I did loads of different activities. And what I realized looking back was that I was trying to figure out who I was. So because I was empathic and a feeler, it was that thing of, I've got to try it out and try to feel it. And so I've always had this interest in, obviously part of it trying to figure out myself, but also in trying to understand how other people tick. So I've spent my whole life, really kind of childhood growing up, and then studied psychology, and you know, in adult years worked in kind of addiction and people with complex needs and mental health issues. So it's kind of been, my whole life has been a study of humanity and what we are and what we aren't, and what we are as a collective and what we are as individuals.
So this is passion. I mean, I obviously the title, Life, Passion and Business. I mean, clearly, you know, you were given this talent. Well, it was foisted upon you without choice by the sounds of it. Is this a passion for you? I mean, it's a good job you like it.
Well, I will say, like most people in the beginning, I did not, because I didn't understand it. It was, again, it felt really confusing. And again, I think it's, what's great about now is there's so many people who do understand this more and are talking about it. And these are the people who have lived through it and just worked it out. So I'm grateful that I'm so sensitive now, and I'm grateful for these abilities, because, you know, the reality is that everyone is intuitive. Everyone is psychic. That's kind of one of my messages to the world. I'm like, we can all do this.
Really?
Yes.
For the benefit of my listeners here, my jaw just dropped a bit, because the idea of actually being, you know, psychic is kind of like, I mean, when you say psychic, what does that actually mean? Does that mean kind of like, you know, can I guess the lottery numbers?
I haven't done that yet. Although, no, take that back, because the first time I ever played the lottery, I was just in this playful mood and I was like, I'm just going to play and see what happens. So I just kind of tuned in and used my intuition to pick, what is it, 5 or 6 numbers. None of them were lucky numbers or anything that had any significance. And I won £10. So, I mean, it's £10, but I mean, for the first time I played and following, I thought that was pretty cool.
I mean, you heard the story from one of my previous podcast guests, and she did actually select the 5 or 6 numbers, and her husband didn't put the bloody ticket on. You know what I mean? It's like, and they're still married, which amazes me.
Yes, that's incredible. Yes, but if you look at us, you know, we are energetic beings.
Yeah.
We are energy. And so it makes sense that we are able to see, feel, understand, hear, perceive energy as well. But we've become really reliant as humans on our physical senses, because that's what's quote unquote tangible and real. So that's what we place the importance on and the emphasis on. But we know on a deeper level that these psychic senses, these intuitive senses, are actually what give us the bigger picture of life, that fill in the gaps and that give us the really deep answers. So when we actually, you know, there's a lot of conceptions around only certain people are psychic, only certain people can do it. And so we think it's this strange, weird, foreign,
because animals have it, don't they? I mean, my grandfather, on my mother's side, not a particularly pleasant man, I have to say, but he is
pleasant. Right.
was not known for his pleasantness, but I mean, he had a terrible relationship with dogs. He'd get dogs and then take them out and lose them because he didn't want them anymore. And there was a time when he took this dog out, got on 4 buses, got home, the dog beat him home. Yeah, so it's like, the dog beat him home, 4 bus rides. You know, it's like, that's clever. How did the dog know?
They know.
They know. But that's the point, isn't it? Yes. Is that animals have this innate sense of direction. And that's like, whereas, and some people have it, some people don't. But,
well, dogs also don't. Dogs don't argue with it. They just accept it. But that's what happens with people, is, and especially if people have had experiences like me as a child where it was overwhelming or it was scary, they try to suppress it or push it away, or they fight it, they deny it. Whereas if you can actually learn to make peace with it, and they're, you know, these are tools you can use, when you learn to use them to enhance your life and expand your life, then you just get to be this intuitive, energetic being that's having this great human experience, and it's less confusing, there's less fighting and conflict, and more of that inner peace and acceptance within.
Wow. So how do you, okay, everyone has this capacity.
Yes.
How does someone go about finding it? Call you, no doubt.
That would be fun. Yeah, we can do that. But I think you can also, you know, you can start small with what you already feel like you're probably good at. So some people know that they are very visual. And they, you know, they can close their eyes and they can say that the imagination starts to go. They're really able to see things vividly. So what I would do is, you know, pick something in your life that you are comfortable with. And I use the example trees all the time because trees are so much fun. But you can go and sit in front of a tree and close your eyes and just allow yourself to connect with the energy and just see what information you get. So for some people, they will, with their eyes closed, will get information about, you know, colors or the energy flow of the tree. Some people will just get a feel of the energy of, you know, how the tree is expansive or it's very grounded and rooted. You know, for me, it's really about starting to play with it and just see what you get. And that makes it much easier. And I think for a lot of people, the feeling is a good one, because, you know, you can go to certain places in the world and you just feel at home. Or you go out into nature and you feel so calm and peaceful. That is already you witnessing the energy there. You're already doing that. So it's just allowing yourself to recognize that you can do it more, and you can get more information, and you can do it in more conscious ways.
So I have a little bit on this one, because I what I notice is about listening to going with the first impulse. That's what I notice.
Yes.
And so at this time of year, I like, when I'm a runner, I like to run. had some knee troubles at the moment, so we're sorting those out, but I still like to run. So I pick my time. But sometimes I kind of go, I need to run the next 10 minutes, 20 minutes. I kind of like have a decision to go. And I don't like running in the rain. And invariably, when I follow that choice, the weather's good. If I delay, it rains. It's funny. It's interesting. Absolutely. I can literally know when the right time to run is because it's not going to rain on me.
And that absolutely makes sense because we are connected with the elements. We're connected with this world. So of course, some part of you is able to pick up on that and understand that. We think that we're so separate from these things, and we're really not.
It's fascinating, isn't it? How that
it
does make you wonder how that translates into world events. So how does world events have, you know, if we're all so well connected, you know, we're both in a country with interest. Well, you have history with a country of interesting political situations, and we are both living in the UK in interesting political times.
Yep.
So, you know, there is something here, a connection with everybody here somehow. And it's like, I wonder how that works in terms of on a wider scale.
So it's really cool because you can take this very micro and very small, and you can take it macro and very big. And, you know, if we think of ourselves again as, you know, the way I look at it is we are these souls. We are these eternal souls that are here to have a human experience. We're here to experience life in this plane, in this world. But because we are connected with other people, with the land, with all these different energies, we can get a sense of what's happening in other areas and what's happening at different times. And you hear this all the time. You hear these stories about how, you know, somebody goes off to war and their wife or their brother knows when they die, or, you know, you have this thought about calling your mother and at the same time she's picking up the phone to call you. Yeah. So, you know, we know that this stuff happens all the time. But I think again, it's really becoming consciously aware of it, because actually when you allow yourself to truly understand how connected you are, then you start to enter into these higher states. And you know, kind of the words that I've been kind of reading and looking at is kind of states of, ecstasis, which is based in ecstasy, which is this, you know, you go into these states of really understanding this unity conscious and what it is to be connected to everyone and everything. Because it's only our beliefs and our perceptions that make us feel like we are these separate beings, that we are totally separate, that we're unaffected. And it's just not true, because there is this collective consciousness. And you can kind of, you know, you can feel it based on if, you know, if something happens in a country, if there's a problem or if there's an accident, or, you know, people can feel that it gets shared through the collective. And, you know, that can be something really sad, you know, an accident that's happened, or it can be, you know, I went to a concert last night, and that the collective with that live music and the flow of the band and the music, that collective, we're tapping into that. And so we can have these amazing altered states because we are connected with all of it.
Isn't there a project called the kind of resonance project or the coherence project or something, which actually measures global coherence?
That I don't know, but that sounds amazing. I need to find it.
I think what they're saying is that the earth has a natural beat.
Yes.
And that beat, the resonance of that beat, changes with things on the earth. And it's Global Coherence Project or something. I will find the details and I'll send them to you, but I'll also post them for my listeners, because I remember hearing about it ages ago. And what was interesting about it was that their monitoring predicts world events.
I believe it.
So things happen and this thing jumps prior to it. They don't know what's going to happen, but something happens that's on a global scale and this thing will react to it prior to it happening.
That is so cool. But that totally makes sense, because we are, as eternal beings, we are kind of past, present, future all the time anyway. So we are always kind of in this interesting zone of playing within these times or timelessness. And we are creating this world. We are the creators of this world. So it makes sense that would happen.
So it's very clear that this is your passion. You are so engaged with this. So what is it you do with this? How does it manifest for you in the world, your passion? How do you manifest it?
Yeah. With the work that I do, well, not even just the work that I do, but with my friends and family and, you know, anyone who wants to play. for me, it is about being present and aware enough so that you can be in these ecstatic states where you are in these elevated states. And so, because I think it's easy to have these one-off, not easy, but we have these one-off events. So like I can think back to, you know, I went to a wedding a couple years ago, and it was one of these moments where everyone was dancing and everybody was in just this amazing mood. And then these pipers came in to play this song. And it was one of these things where, do you know where time starts to slow down? Everything just kind of slows down. And you're just in this feeling, this moment of everything is in the right place at the right time. And I just feel incredible. And so, you know, we move in and out of these states. These are kind of peak states, I would say. But for me, it's really recognizing how we can tap into that on a regular basis so that we are in that flow and that we are in these peak states on a more regular way, because that affects the quality of life. And for me, what creates that is, yes, an awareness of our states, an awareness of a connection, and an awareness of a bigger picture. So I had an instance, this is a few years ago, it's one of the most amazing things that's ever happened to me. I went to see a movie, and it was that movie, I think it's called Pompeii or something, which was pretty mediocre. But the movie itself, you know, I went to Leicester Square, and you know, in that movie, the whole movie is just them running away from either war or disaster or death or something. So the whole movie, you're just spinning, stressed out, feeling like you need to run away. So we got out of the theater, and I went to the Underground, and a bunch of different shows must have let out at the same time, because everybody, it was still that same energy of people pushing to get down to the Underground cars, and you know, I was like, God, I'm still in the movie. So I made my way downstairs and jumped on kind of the last car of the train right before the doors shut. And kind of in that state, you know, my mind's going around and I'm just thinking about this movie and the craziness that ensued. But I had this real moment of clarity, and something in my mind just said, pay attention right now. And so I took a breath and I just sat there, and it was late at night. So there's about 20 people sitting around this one car on the Underground. And so I just kind of tuned in and said, well, what's happening right now? And the message that came through was that every person in this car is a member of your soul family. And I just had this amazing, one of the most heart-opening, incredible experiences. And I got to look around kind of face-to-face and soul-to-soul and kind of look at each of these people. And it was people from all over the world, all ages, colors, classes, everything. And just so, I mean, and at this point, you know, tears are streaming down my face. I'm just so grateful to be in this energy and know that people who are in my soul family, I'm just having this moment to connect with them then. And I nearly stood up and went, hey, guess what, everybody? We're a soul family. And I would have been the crazy person on the train that day.
Yeah.
But it was this really great moment. And the lesson I got from it was, we are connecting with people all the time that we have deep resonance and understanding with, but we miss it because we're so caught up in our heads and so caught up in the dramas and the silly little things of life. And if when you actually allow yourself to be present, then you have these ecstatic, incredible experiences on a regular basis. And this is my passion. So it's really about helping people to get out of their stuff so that they can be in ecstasy.
Wow. Yeah. So, and you do, how do you do that? And you do that in workshops, in one-to-one, or how do you do that?
Yeah, a bit of both. I do a lot of one-to-one work, which I love because you can really get into some deep stuff with people and really niche fine tune things. But actually I find that the group work, again, it's that collective, when people are there and they really know that they want to evolve, that they want to learn, that they want to heal, you know, whatever that focus is, when you get into that collective, people just expand, people just grow really quickly because they're putting their, that intention is there that, right, this is, I'm here to have an experience. This is what I'm wanting to have. So I love doing it in groups.
So I will share a woo-woo experience.
Oh, good. I love them.
So I met my wife through personal development. And so we used to do a lot of personal development workshops and things. And We used to attend various ones. There was one in London called the, we lived in London at the time, called the Mind, Body and Spirit Festival. It's a huge festival. And there was a lady at this festival called Denise Lynn, who does past life regression.
Awesome.
And, you know, I kind of had a, wife's into the stuff. And, you know, I kind of, well, all right, let's see how it happens. So anyway, we went into this room and it was a simple two hour night. We paid for a workshop and I guess it must have been 2 hours or so thereabouts. So we walked into this room and there were a lot of people. There must have been 200 people plus in this auditorium thing. And I walked in first. So I chose where we sat. I just sat down and Cheryl came and sat next to me. Anyway, she's doing a lot of meditation, a lot of kind of inner work in this one. Mm. And she did this thing and she took us through a meditation about bringing forward one of our past lives. And I started to get a sense of Indian colors and those kind of spice colors and like sari type fabric, that kind of images of India. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and that's what I got. That's all I got, those images. Anyway, at the end of the, she took us out the thing. She said, okay, so where are all the Indian? Where's everyone from India? And people around me will put their hands up. And I went, put my hand up. And my wife, she got images of being in England in service, like as a servant. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I chose where we sat. Had she chose where she wanted to sit herself, she'd have sat with her soulmates.
Wow, interesting. Really interesting.
I mean, and Denise tells a story. How true, I don't know, it is. She says this story where she did this in North America somewhere, and like when they came out this thing, some guy looked really, really shocked and said, "You okay?" And he said, "I was being chased." He said, "I was being chased by some guy with a tomahawk and he put it into my head and I died." And she went, "Oh, that must be terrible." And the guy next to him went white. And he said, "What's that? What's wrong with you?" He went, "Oh, it was the guy with the tomahawk."
Yeah. That's amazing.
I mean, it sounds great. I mean, it's one of those things that sounds great on a, you know, as an event, doesn't it? But I mean, sorry, that's woo-woo. I just being a bit woo-woo. Gosh,
I love some woo-woo.
I'm going to lose loads of listeners on this one.
No. Listen, here's the thing. We have an opportunity to make the woo-woo less woo-woo and, you know, make it grounded and tangible and understandable. I think that's very cool.
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, when you speak to most top business owners, people who are running big companies, they will look at all of the information in front of them and then they will ask their gut what they should do.
Absolutely. Richard Branson and Oprah, they all talk about that. It all comes down to their intuition.
At the end of the day, they all come down to intuition and they all have tuned or honed their intuition into something.
Absolutely.
You know, and the number of people that have kind of said, like, you know, I was going to employ this guy, but I wasn't sure about him. And then I wasn't sure about him. I thought, no, everything looks right, but there's something wrong about it. And it's like, and we, how many times have we done that? We kind of go into a circumstance and go, no. So yes, I think we all use it, but we're not prepared to admit it.
Right. Let's admit it. Loud and proud.
So tell me, okay, look, we've had I'm enjoying this conversation and I could get carried away as I often do, so I won't. So tell me, so what is success for you? Because this is life, passion and business, but this is the idea that, you know, I say, what are you passionate about and how you bring that into the world? Now, success is this thing is that we all have this model of success. Mm-hmm. And depending on how we model that, depends on how happy we're going to be. So, I mean, what is success for you?
Success for me is impact. Mm-hmm. And I think that would resonate with a lot of people because when we look at our motivations for our behavior, you know, we all want to feel like we're making a difference, like even if it's just our family or our friends or, you know, that can be a very small community. Some people that is more of a wider desire. Mm-hmm. But for me, it really is, you know, you feel like you're living your purpose. You're feeling successful when you can recognize the impact that you're having in a really positive way. So for me, what I've really been looking at lately is what is my impact right now? And is it as large as I want it to be? And how can I create that? How can I do that? And so it's been really interesting to delve into that, into those qualities and kind of yeah, and kind of looking at the motivations and how I can do that as well.
So is that, does that look like, I mean, what has been impactful for you this year? What's been the big success of this year for you?
Oh, do you know, it's been interesting. This year for me has really been more of an internal exploration year, which has had a massive impact for my life and how I work with people and how I see the world and just changing my own perspectives and questioning my own limitations. Mm. So that inner work has been the biggest impact for me. So I know for next year, I'm looking at, okay, well, how do I share that with other people? I want the impact to be with other people so that they can benefit from all the work that I've been doing internally.
That sounds good. That does sound good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I always have loved this question because it's like one of those trip up questions. But I'm not gonna. But you know, you've listened to the podcast. You know it's coming. So what's the one question I needed to ask you, Jennifer? What is it, the one thing that you don't tell everybody, but you're going to tell us?
Well, you know, the one thing. So the question is, take the word should out. But what do I wish I'd started doing 10 years ago? Okay. It really is, because I started meditating and, you know, my more of my development and healing things probably about 10 years ago, really. But I really wish that I had gotten serious about meditation and really creating time and space for that. And it's funny because I've been teaching meditation for a long time, but it's only really the last couple years where I have really, really gotten more quote unquote serious about it, but really understanding the benefits of what that does for me and how it's deepened my work as a practitioner and as a teacher and my own life as a human being. That's definitely something I would say, I've been teaching it for a long time, but now I really understand it.
it's fascinating. When I look back over the different bits of work I've done, I've often worked with alternative projects. And I guess that's my interest. I guess I do. And I work with a company a few years ago around Qigong and that kind of Chinese medicine.
Yes.
And the lady who ran that company, Bizong Gu was her name, and she's back in China now, I think. But she had a lifetime of doing Qigong and Qigong meditation. Mm-hmm. And she could walk into a crowded, noisy room and it would be like angels passing. The room would go quiet.
Yes.
You know, her energy would walk into the room.
Yeah.
And everyone would stop. Mm-hmm. But she had the power to turn that on and turn it off. Yeah. So she could walk into the room quietly and no one knew she was there.
That's a woman who understood impact. Yes. As well.
Yes. But I mean, I've heard that story in another context, because there's, and I can't remember her name, but she's a contemporary of Marilyn Monroe. Mm. And these two actresses were walking down the street. They were the same age, walking down the street as friends. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the US somewhere, and this woman said to her, Marilyn, Norma, it's wonderful. Yeah. How you can do this. You can just walk down the street and just be like and be normal. And she said, well, that's because I'm Norma.
Yes.
And she said, what do you mean? She said, well, if I'm Marilyn, people notice me.
I was actually speaking to a friend last night about how we needed stage names.
And she said, how does that work? And she said, well, I'll show you. And she just walked about 6 foot away and became Marilyn, and a crowd formed around her.
Yes. Amazing. But yeah, you see this, people like Freddie Mercury and Prince, you know, people on one level are very shy and withdrawn, but when they're on stage, when they're in that vibe, they have this other persona. It's incredible. They switch it on.
Yeah, they do, don't they? It's amazing, isn't it, really?
Yes.
And I guess that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, I guess I think I'm pretty much the same whether you see me live or whether you meet me or whether I'm on here. Sure. Although I'm a bit more heightened when I'm talking to someone on a podcast, but that's because if I become boring, no one wants to listen to it. So I do try to be a little bit more up in these conversations. But yeah, I guess it's interesting about that, how we present ourselves to the world, really. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's giving me some thought. Actually, I'm going to give that some thought. Thank you for that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So how do people get to work with you and play in your world?
Yeah, so I people can book with me. I do online and in-person one-to-ones, and I am currently planning my schedule for next year. I will definitely be doing some things around Scotland and London, and I'm looking at some potential events abroad as well. So, yeah. So,
do you ever go back to the Bible Belt and do events there?
I do. I ran some events in Savannah this past summer, Savannah, Georgia, which is beautiful. I'm going to go back again this year. So, yeah. So that's the plan, is to travel and teach. That's my dream.
Yeah, well, that sounds pretty good, actually. It sounds pretty good.
Yes.
Well, okay. So our final question. There are links. You're on Facebook and LinkedIn and places. Are you that?
Yes. So website is withjennifer.com.
Okay.
Instagram, Facebook is all withjennifer44.
Okay. Well, I'll sort those links out and
we'll put them
on the podcast and stuff like that. So the final question that I ask all my guests, which is the one thing, of course, and I say this the same every week, but I'll say it again anyway. We're born into this world as animals, and we live, eat, and die as animals, but only humans are arrogant enough to think we have a purpose and a meaning. Come on then, what is the meaning of life for you?
Well, I think the meaning of life is to find the bridge between the two. So it's about, for me, it's about creating heaven on earth. So it is about being these human animal people, but also remembering that we are more, and bringing those gifts and values and virtues into our human experience too. So we really can make this divine. And I think life is about the exploration and the experimentation, and then the embodiment of all of that, so that you are expressing who and what you really are, even as this fun human body.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah. I can resonate with that.
Yeah.
I mean, see, my one is that, but the one I got probably from all these podcasts is that life actually has absolutely no meaning whatsoever other than the meaning that you choose to give it.
Sure. Sure.
But both are true, aren't they, really?
Yeah.
It is a fascinating. I think if everyone were to put their time into answering these questions, passion, success, and meaning, we'd all have a much better life.
I agree. I think if everybody can figure out the answer to the questions of who am I and why am I here, then we all live in alignment. We all know what we're doing. We're living our purpose, and we feel good about it. So
yeah, that makes a difference. Yeah. Living your purpose.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Jennifer, for living your purpose with me today. It's been fascinating to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you again, but I think we'll have to find, I will make sure that we get to catch up with you again in the next year.
Great. Sometime. Thank you so much for having me.
All the best, Jennifer. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Jennifer Main. If you would like to connect with Jennifer, you can find her on Facebook. You can find her on Instagram, which is withjennifer44, and on Twitter, which is jennifermain44. And her website is jennifermain.co.uk. As always, all of these links will be found at the podcast website, Life, Passion and Business, and at the bottom of the page underneath the player. So that is it for this episode. Thank you so much for being with us. If you like this program, please like it and share. It always helps. And if you really like the program, perhaps you might want to leave us a comment. Anyway, thank you so much for your time and attention, and I will catch you next time. All the best.